Okay, this morning we looked at one way of using this book, and that is just by giving it as a gift to a person. So this is probably the most common way I use the book, is I just ask them if they are a reader, and then I just give it to them as a gift. And we, sorry.
今天早上呢，高约翰呢，他跟大家讲了。他用这本书的最好的一个方法呢，通常呢就是作为一个礼物、啊、送给人，问人啊、愿不愿意读书啊，愿意读的话给你一个礼物，这样一种方式。
We have several books translated into Chinese. This is one of them.
我们已经有几本书翻译成中文了，这是其中的一本。
Another one is All the Prophets Have Spoken.
还有另一本呢，就是先知所说的一切话。
Now this book here is about 25% different than this one.
有大约25%的不同，这两本书。
They're very similar books.
这两本书很相似。
They both explain the story of the empty cross and the empty tomb.
都是啊，在讲这个故事，这个十字架上，主耶稣下了十字架以后，那个坟墓空了以后的这个故事。
This book, though, was written for people coming from an Islamic background.
但是那本书啊，先知所说的一切话呢，特别是在写的时候呢，是针对那些穆斯林背景的人写的。
It does not mention Islam in it at all.
但是里面并没有提到说穆斯林。
However, it's adapted to address the questions they tend to ask.
但是呢，在写的时候呢，实际上是针对穆斯林来写的。
So if you have a Chinese friend who comes from an Islamic background,
所以如果我们如果有朋友的话，是一个有伊斯兰教的背景的话，
this would be the one that you'd want to give to him.
大家可以的把这本书作为礼物送给他们。
Now let me just mention that at the Transworld Radio office,
我们呢也提一下这个环球啊。
William has a whole bunch of these books.
就是环球广播它有很多这个书。
And while they last, they are free. There's no charge for them.
因为大家如果想要的话，可以啊跟他们联系，但是 free 的是免费的。
A donor for Good Seed gave $10,000 to pay for the print in Chinese.
因为已经有这个爱心的弟兄或者姊妹啊，他们捐献了一些钱，大约10,000块钱呢，就是付了这本书的印的费用。
And so we've entrusted those books to Transworld Radio to distribute.
所以呢，我们也把这本书呢给这个环球，环球可以啊，免费的送给大家。
And you're free to go there and ask them for some of these copies.
那如果大家如果喜欢要的话，可以跟环球联系要一本，
just make
要一些。
Make sure you take them that you do use them, that they just don't sit around.
大家呢也要想一想，如果真的要了之后呢，能够认真的用一用，把。自己看一看呢，或者是送给别人。
And I'm sure William would not be upset if you write a little check and leave some money to replace those books later on when they run out.
如果大家呢想啊有一些奉献的话，当然 William 也会很高兴的。
Is that okay, William? All right. We also have a third book that's translated into Chinese. This is for the Islamic worldview.
我们还有第三本书已经翻译成中文的。
This is for people that actually come from a somewhat Christianized background.
这本书呢，就是大致上是一种已经有了一些基督教的背景的人，对这些人来写的。
It kind of assumes a person's coming from a Protestant or Roman Catholic Orthodox background.
写这本书的前提呢，就假设啊，读书的人呢，可能是有一些基督教的天主教的背景。
However, it was our first product, and that's why it was translated into Chinese.
我们现在已经翻译成中文、大家可以看。
This book here,
还有一本书
is written for the Eastern worldview.
这本书呢是特别针对那些东方的那个就是东正教的那个背景的人写的。
It's for those who worship many gods.
东方的宗教不是东正教，就是敬拜很多神、多神论的那些人。
Yeah, like you'd see in Hinduism.
比如说在印度，印度有多神吗
？It's written for those that have a pantheistic idea.
就是有这种多神论的那种想法的人，针对那些人写的一本书。
That's that very common concept of God we got here in Canada.
加拿大这个也是一样的，也很多这样的。
So we use this a lot now here in Canada.
所以我们在加拿大呢，这本书也很实用，在很多的情况下。
It's written for people coming from an atheistic or an agnostic background.
就是针对那些从多神教的或者其他的宗教的背景来的人写的一本书。
New Age or animistic.
有新时代啊，还有
Spiritism.
还有一种就是怎么说呢？我们还有就是灵里面有跟灵通灵的那些人。
Like kitchen gods, ancestral spirits, that sort of background.
或者像我们中国的，原来有好多那种那个拜灶神呐、啊，各种假神的。
So it's a very broad book.
所以这本书呢，也是啊，针对性很广泛的。
And I'm going to tell you about this book because this is not available in Chinese yet.
那这本书呢，还没有翻译成中文。
But William has all sorts of spare time between midnight and about 4 a.m.
那 William 呢，也是半夜的时候起来要翻译这本书。
So he it seriously he desires to translate this into Chinese. That's one of his desires.
他现在呢也很认真的要把这本书翻译成中文。
And this book here is about 60% different than this.
那这两本书的差别啊，大约有60%的区别。
This assumes a complete ignorance of the Bible this year.
那这本书啊，就是说针对那些人，他们对圣经一点观念也没有，没有任何知识的，关于圣经知识的人写的。
So you have the Christianized worldview.
所以我们看这不同的这个书啊，有一本是针对啊有基督教背景的人写的。
The Islamic worldview.
有是针对伊斯兰教背景的人写的。
The Eastern worldview.
也有是针对东方那些多神论的人写的。
Then we have another book, titled The Lamb.
还有一本书叫羔羊。
And it's written for the children's worldview.
是给那些孩子写的。
And that is available in Chinese as well.
那本书呢是已经翻译成中文了。
Unfortunately, we didn't bring a copy to show to you, but.
今天我们好像没有带来这样一个。
I forgot to mention it. Sorry.
没有提到那个。
Yeah. So those are tools that you can give out as gifts.
所以这些书呢，是我们手里的一些工具，我们可以把它送给别人。
I guess maybe in the Chinese New Year, you put your little red packet on top of the lamb and pass it on.
我中国过年的时候跟那个红包一起送给别人。
but yeah.What I want to do this afternoon,
那今天下午我们想做的呢
is explain how to use this tool in a home Bible study.
就是解释一下我们在一个家庭的一种是 Bible study 的这个场合里面怎么样用这本书。
Now, this morning I mentioned you can just pass it out as a gift like I did on the bus.
那早上的时候我们说，比如像我一样在坐公交车的时候把这个书送给别人做礼物。
And by the way, I always keep a number of these in my car.
顺便说一下，我通常呢是有几本书，有几个 copy 放在我自己的车里面。
You just never know when you get your opportunity.
因为你不知道什么时候就有机会了，就可以送给别人。
And the opportunities come and they disappear very quickly.
而好多时候我们发现那个传福音的机会呢，来得很宝贵，一下子就没有了，我们要抓住。
If you don't have your tools available to you, you can miss those opportunities.
如果我们在这些机会来的时候没有抓住那些机会，没有这些工具的话，我们可能会失去这个好的机会。
I was in a restaurant one time.
我在有一次啊，在这个酒店里面，在饭店里面。
And as I came out of the restaurant into the hotel or the lobby,
在这个我们进到这个门口啊，就是这个。
I got into just a brief conversation at the lobby desk of the hotel. This is in Banff.
在半府那个地方一个酒店里面呢，他就饭店嘛，他在门口啊，就是那个 lobby 那个地方，跟有一些人很简短的谈了几句。
And in the process, a comment was made about God.
谈话的时候呢，就是这个人提到啊，关于神。
Now, the comment was made in such a way that it could have been that the individual was using God's name as a swear word.
那他提到神这个词的时候呢，就是有一点不敬的，就好像骂人的这样的一个话题提起来。
You ever heard somebody say, "Oh my God"?
大家会听到有人会说 "Oh my God" 这样的。
But my response was, yeah, have you ever looked into finding out just what he's like?
那我的那个回应呢是说，那你知不知道这个神到底是什么样的呢？
And the answer comes back, I don't know, I probably should, but I just don't even know where to begin.
那个人呢，可能就是那个人的回答是说，我不知道，不知道他一开始怎么回事。
I ran out to the car.
我就赶紧跑到我那个车里面。
Got one of these books out of the car.
找到这样一本书。
Came back in and said, this will answer your questions about God.
回来呢，到那个人面前说，这本书呢就能回答你啊，关于神是什么。
The girl picks it up, starts looking, and she says, oh, this looks cool.
那个人呢，看这个书说，这个书很酷啊。
Another couple ladies come in that work in the hotel.
有一对夫妇啊，在这个酒店里工作的过来。
What do you get there?
问他说，你拿什么？
He says it's a book about God.
然后他说呢，是一个关于神的书。
One of them says, oh.
那对夫妇说，
do you have any more like it? I mean, could I get one too?
那对夫妇呢说你还有没有了我们也想要一本
back out to the car I get another one
那这样呢就赶紧就跑回那个车里面再拿一本
give her a book
再给那个夫妇一本
and the third lady was kind of like
然后有第三个这个女士啊
I don't suppose you have another one do you
也是啊你还有没有了赶紧再去车里要一本找一本
you never know when the opportunities will come
我们永远都不知道什么时候啊那个机会会来的。
And I find that people are a lot more curious about God and the Bible than they've ever been.
那我自己的发现呢是人呢对神呢对圣经还是很感兴趣的比以前都感兴趣。
This is especially true in countries like Canada that at one time had a Christian heritage of a sort.
这种情况啊发生在加拿大这样一个国度加拿大呢本来以前呢应该称作是基督教国家的。
But they've now lost it.
那现在呢？加拿大已经不再是基督教的国家。
And people wonder what's it all about.
那人们呢？可能会想，这个基督教是怎么回事啊
？If you're ready with your tools, you can provide the answer.
那如果我们呢，经常带这样一些工具啊、书的话，我们就会抓住这些机会。
So I have a box in the back of my car.
我在我的车里面那个创客里面呢，就是有一箱子。
And I have several.I have a number of books in different languages in there that I keep
那个箱子里呢装的这个书啊不同版本的不同语言的
and you find somebody that is outside of their home country
你可能会遇到一些人呢他们呢是从外国来的
and you're able to present a book like this in Arabic or Turkish
那你可能啊有机会拿这样一本比如说土耳其的或者是伊斯兰教的语言的版本呢给他们做礼物
I don't know that I've ever had a book refused.
我从来没有啊，把这个书送给别人的时候，别人会拒绝的。
Now in English, that's a different story.
对于英语的版本来说呢，却是一个不同的故事了。
But I've only had a few refused.
也就是我把这个英文版呢送给别人的时候，有几次啊被拒绝。
There may have been some that went into the trash bin.
我自己也知道有几次给人了以后啊人家可能把它扔到那个纸篓里面
But most of them were gladly received
但我想大多数的人呢都很欢喜的很高兴的接受这样一个礼物
Now that's one way you can use it
这个呢是我们使用这本书的一种方法
What do we want to do is talk about how do you do a home Bible study with it
那我们今天下午啊就要讲了我们怎么样比如说用这样一个工具来做一个在家里面做一个查经一个工作
Because that's the ideal
因为在查经的这样一个环境里面呢这本书啊这个工具呢是最理想的
So you're talking to somebody at your work
比如你跟这个工作上的一些人呢谈话的时候交流的时候
I remember just after 911
我记得在911之后
I went into our local bank there in Alberta
我在阿尔伯塔呢去一个银行
I'm from Alberta by the way just north of Calgary
约翰呢是从他住在阿尔伯塔
I went into our local bank to renegotiate our mortgage with the loan officer
约翰呢去银行呢跟这个银行里面的人呢来谈呢重新贷款房子贷款的事情
And the loan officer says oh how the world has changed in this last week
那这个贷款的银行里面这个人呢说这个世界呀上一周变化多大呀多么巨大
and I said boy yeah, yes it sure has but I'm so glad I know the end of the story
那我就回答他，我说是啊，这个世界变化的很大，但是我知道这个世界的结局是什么。
And she opened her eyes real wide. She says, "Well, how can you say that?"
然后这个人呢很惊讶，睁大了眼睛说，你怎么能这么说呢？
And I said, "The end of the story is found in the book called the Holy Bible."
啊，我就告诉他，这个世界呀，最后的故事是圣经里面说的，记录的。
And she says, "I don't know anything about the Bible."
那他回答说，我对圣经一无所知。
And I says, "Well,if you'd like to do, my wife and I can sit down with you, and we will take you through an overview of the Bible."
啊，我就跟他说，我说如果你愿意的话，我太太跟我呢，我们可以啊，找一个时间好好的来聊一聊整个的这个圣经的事情。
And so we did that.
啊，然后呢，他们真的这样做了。
And we did that with her and another lady that worked in the bank that came along as well.
啊，就是我跟他谈话的这个女士，还有这个银行里另一个女士，两个人。
Now I want to give you a little idea how we did that.
那我想告诉大家我们当时是怎么做的，怎么做这个查经的。
Tim will take my role. This is what I did.
那个 Tim 呢，假装就是这个John 约翰的，老约翰。
I read Mandarin very slowly, so he will take responsibility for that.
他说他读这个汉语很慢，那个 Tim 呢就会扮演他。
Jessica, you'll take the role of my wife.
那 Jessica 呢就扮演呢是高约翰的太太。
Good thing. And you'll take the role of the loan officer.
这个清华呢，他就是扮演的那个银行的贷款的那个人。
You all can follow on by turning to page 256.
大家来翻到256页。
So let's turn to 256, and we'll pretend that we're right near the end of the study.
我们来一起翻到啊这本书的256页，来看看我当时啊做这个查经啊是怎么做的一个方式。
Now you noticed in the text, you'll notice that there's the commentary that I wrote.
大家看到啊，我这里面写的好像一个解经一样。
And then you'll notice the Bible verses that have been indented.
我们看这里面有很多的经文。
Okay, Tim, what I want you to do here is starting here at this heading. I want you just to read the commentary.
来读一下前面这一段，不是经文。
And then when you come down to the verses,Do not read the reference.
读经文的时候呢，不用读那个哪本书哪章哪节。
But Jessica, and if you would read those verses alternating, just go back and forth.
另外两个人呢，就读这些经文，两个人交流轮流的来读。
And when you come to the commentary, Tim, you read it again.
然后那个 Tim 啊，主要是读这个解释，对经文的解释。
And when you come to the verses, you read them taking turns.
然后另外两个女士呢，就是读经文，交换着来读经文。
Okay, so we'll start out, see how it goes, Tim. Oh, you just, I'll stop you. Oh, we actually were going to go through the whole book, but, no. Yes.
还记得十诫吗？以色列人以为他们可以遵守这些律例。今天有很多人以为可以靠着戒遵守这十诫，或一些经过他们修改过的律例来讨神喜悦，但从研讨中可见，神要求的是完全的顺服。
因为凡遵守全律法的，只在一条上跌倒，他就是犯了众条。
常赤守十诫，不能重交已与神破裂的关系。
所以凡有血气的，没有一个人因。
这个律法让我们讲起那古老的钱币两面的难题，我们有我们不该有的罪，同时我们需要我们没有的义，十诫不能提供给我们与神的义等同的义。
但如今神的义在律法以外已经显明出来，有律法和先知为证，就是神的义，因信耶稣基督加给一切相信的人，并没有分别。
耶稣向人类显明了一种与律法完全无关的义，一种直接来自于神的仁慈。经上说，为了得到这种义，我们手也应该做的，唯有信。这是如此简单，简单是对我们而言的，而对神来说却意味着许多许多。神的性情是不可能无视罪的存在而假装没有发生一样， 罪必定要受惩罚，必定有死亡，直到那个时代人以动物献祭，并以此作为死的代价。但就如我们已看到的，那只是暂时的遮盖，因为
公牛和山羊的血算不能
成。是否有其他办法呢？或许有一个人愿意为别人死，但他本身必须是无罪并甘心受罚。世人中没有一个这样的人，历史历代每一个男或女都有一个个人的罪债，他们无法替别人负债，但神亲自从天降世为人，一个无罪的人，在一个无私自爱的伟大行动中，
神设立耶稣做挽回祭，是凭着耶稣的血，借着人的信，要显明神的义，因为他用忍耐的心宽容人先时所犯的罪。
OK, we'll stop there.
And
that's how we go through the whole book.
这就是我当时啊，在做这个家里面的查经的时候，我们所做的很简单。
Now I want to point out five things that tie this all together, doing it this way.
那高约翰呢，他会给大家指出有五点啊，这样做的一个重要的五点。
I'll let you go. Thank you.
谢谢这些volunteer。
We just read the book together.
我们就是很简单的一起来读这本书。实际上
，Now, in saying that, there is some things that we add in there.
我们看到我们也加了一些东西。
We tell our students to have a highlighter.
我们呢在学校呢，每个人手里呢有一个这个彩笔来画一画。
And we encourage them to highlight anything that's important to them.
在读的过程中啊，如果你发现就是查经的时候，大家发现每个地方重要的可以画一画。
We also use these visual aids that you see.
我们也用了一些啊，前面高约翰已经用到的一些实际的东西，实际的物体。
And so when you come to a part of the story where the visual aid is appropriate, you use it there.
所以我们在讲这个故事，圣经故事的过程当中啊，如果遇到了，我们就用这些实际的东西来展示一下。
Now, just on the side here, we're right in the process of manufacturing these visual aids, so that you can buy basic kits of these complete.
那插一句题外话呢，就是他们这个 ministry 呢，他们的这个施工啊，也在做这样一些实物比如前面用的那些老鼠什么的，一套一套的，大家可以来买来用。
If you wish, you can. I have a sign up. You can sign up for our e-newsletter.And it will inform you when those become available.
大家呢可以啊，给他签一下自己的名字，在他那个 e-newsletter 上，然后给大家发一些信息。如果有哪些产品出来，大家可以去买。
We also have a leader's guide that tells you exactly when to use the visual aid.
我们还有一个就是在查经的那个人呢，他的这个参考的书告诉他该怎么做，每一步该怎么做。
Now this is only available in English at this point.
这本书呢，现在只有英语版的。
But when William has some spare time between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m.
那如果威廉嘛，早上四点到六点还有时间的话，可以继续翻译这一本。
This material that we have created.In fact, all these books are free on our internet to download.
这是啊，我们所有的一些工具。实际上，这些书啊，在网上都是免费可以下载的。
All these books are free on.
所有这些书都是可以免费下载的。
But let me explain to you the strength of using this approach to teaching.
那我给大家解释一下，我刚才所看到的这样一种方式啊，很简单一种方式。
I'm going to give you five reasons that we consider it very strong.
那我认为啊，有五点很重要的一个原因呢，这样的方法很好。
The first one is accuracy.
第一个呢，就是精确。
The text of these books have been thought out very well.
我们看到这个书里面呢，引用的圣经呢，都是很好的经文。
We've had a lot of input from a broad spectrum of theologians.
我们呢也从不同的这个神学家呀，取到这些思想。
And as a result of that, it's an accurate reflection of what we believe the scripture teaches.
也就是说我们这本书写的时候呢，要追求一个精确性，精确的来反映这个基督教的信仰。
By reading it, it keeps you accurate to what the message of the Bible is.
那我们看到我们是在读这本书，读的过程中呢，就有一个精确性。
And especially for those that might have limited Bible knowledge.
特别是对那些对圣经不熟的人，他对圣经的知识很有限。
They don't need to sit down and think and think and think about what they're going to say.
他们呢，在查经的时候，不需要去想说我该说什么呢？查经的过程中。
The text is laid out there with the Bible verses inserted.
因为这个书呢，就在他面前，里面有很多的圣经的经文。
And as a result of that, you can move very quickly through the material.
那你这样读呢，就很可以很快的领会很多的经文，很多的内容。
Your student will be reading around 1,200 Bible verses in full.
那他整本书读过来呢，就会读1,300多个经文，解经文呢。
That's a lot of scripture.
那个是很多的圣经的经文，对学习这样的过程的这个人来说啊，很有帮助。
And sprinkled in between will be brief explanations or little anecdotes to help them understand it.
然后呢，在这个经文之间呢，我们看一些解释的地方，帮助他来。理解经文的意思。
So the first point is accuracy.
所以我们说这个方法的首先的一点呢，是很精确。
The second point is comprehension.
这个方法的第二个好处呢，是易于理解。
We want people not only to read, but we want them to read with understanding.
我们不仅仅是希望人来读这个书，还希望他读了之后呢，能理解得很好。
And it's very important that when they're done, they understand the message.
他们读了以后啊，理解其中的内容啊，是非常重要的。
We don't want them to just have heard words.
我们不愿意让这些人呢，仅仅是听到这些话。
We want them to stuck it together in a way that makes sense.
我们想让他们呢通过学习呢领会理解觉得这个有意思有意义
Now to facilitate understanding we use four very common sense principles of learning
那为了让他们理解呢我们用了四个大家很常用的这种原则
These principles are used in grade schools
这些原则很古老我们一直在用
Used in high school and universities
在这个高中啊，或者大学里面，大家也都用这样的原则。
Pretty well, everyone knows them and understands them very well.
那每个人呢，都很了解这个原则，也能够很快的使用这些原则。
There's nothing secretive about these principles of learning at all.
那这些原则呀，没有什么秘密的。
What we do is we take those four principles.
那我们所做的呢，是用这个四个原则。
And we apply them consistently to the Bible.
然后呢，忠于圣经的来把它使用出来。
We're tenacious in the way that we apply them.
我们很有效的把这个方法使用出来啊，来解释圣经的内容。
Here's the first principle. It's called the priority principle.
那这四个原则是什么呢？第一个呢，叫做优先性的原则。
Okay. Now the priority principle is very simple.
这个优先性的原则呢是很简单。
If you're approaching a topic you know nothing about,
如果我们要探讨一个题目啊，我们对一个题目不了解的话
，What you want to do is learn the most important things first.
那你要做的呢是要了解这个题目啊最关键的地方是什么，最重要的是什么。
Let's say you have never ever run a computer in your life.
我们假设啊，你从来没有用过电脑。
You don't know anything about computers.
你对电脑啊一无所知。
It's a completely new topic to you.
比如说电脑对你来说啊是全新的一个概念。
What's the first thing you need to learn about running a computer?
那你面对这个电脑的时候，你第一件事情要做什么呢
？Yes.
大点声。Turn it on.
Turn it on. That's right. That's a very important thing to learn first.
这个是非常重要的。首先，我们就要学会。
And as we approach the Bible, there are some things that are more important than other things.
那我们当我们来学圣经的时候呢，有一些事情是比另一些事情更重要的，更突出的。
All Scripture is inspired by God.
那整个圣经都是神所默示的。
But all is not equally significant.
但是所有的每一个圣经的每一个部分，并不是啊，都是同样重要的。
The Song of Solomon is Scripture inspired by God.
我们说这个雅歌呢是神默示的。
And John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16 is inspired by God.
约翰福音三章十六节也是神所默示的。
Which is more significant, the Song of Solomon or John 3:16?
那哪一节经文更重要呢？是雅歌呢？雅歌书呢？还是约翰福音三章十六节呢？
John 3:16.So there are some parts of Scripture that are more important than others, and those are the parts we need to learn first.
那有圣经里面有一些经文呢是更重要、更突出的，我们要使用。
Okay. So that's not a difficult concept, is it?
所以这个呢就是我们的一个概念。我们在学习的时候，先把最重要的拿出来，优先性原则。
But we're absolutely tenacious in the way that we apply that.
但是我们呢也要很小心，怎么样的把这个原则应用出来。
If we're talking to somebody that is not a Christian,
如果我们在面对的是一个非基督徒，
then the most important part of Scripture that we can explain to them is to teach them how they can be a Christian.
那我们要跟他们谈这个圣经经文呢，是怎么样成为一个基督徒的那些经文。
So we don't teach them verses that maybe have to do with prophecy.
那我们很可能啊，不会跟他们说关于那个先知书里面的内容。
We teach him verses that have to do with the fact that there's a holy God and what he's like.
那我们跟那些就是没有信的人谈这个道的时候，可能会谈一些比如说神是什么，神的属性。
We don't really look at verses that have to do with Christians per se. We look at those that have to do with non-Christians.
因为我们所面对的是这个非基督徒而不是基督徒。
That's where we start. That's the priority for the moment.
这个呢就是我们的一个起点，我们的一个原则。
The second principle is the clarity principle.
那第二个原则呢，就是清晰性。
The clarity principle has to do with how do we make things clear.
这个清晰性的原则呢，就是我们怎么样把一个事情啊说清楚。
Now the Bible has some huge themes in it.
我们知道圣经里面呢有很多很大的那种主题。
There's the theme that has to do with the salvation from the sin penalty, the lake of fire.
比如说我们在圣经里面看到啊这种救赎的主题，要把这个罪人从地狱里面救出来这样大的主题。
We'll call that the salvation theme.
我们可以说啊，这是关于救赎的。
It has to do with a doctrine called justification.
我们可能会涉及到，比如说因信称义的教义。
But there's another big theme that's called sanctification.
我们还有另一个主题啊，叫成圣。
Another big theme called glorification.
还有呢，叫得荣耀。
The clarity principle says, if we're going to stick to the most important information first.Then we need to deal with salvation first.
那这个清晰性的原则啊，在前面第一个优先性原则的基础上呢，说如果我们要把它说清楚的话，我们要把这个救赎的这个主题啊先讲清楚。
So we just talk about salvation issues.
所以我们跟这些不信的人，比如说跟他讲的主要是救赎的问题。
So that's the first aspect of the clarity principle. One theme at a time.
首先第一个呢就是清晰性啊，首先我们一个一个的来讲。
But there's a second aspect of the clarity principle that's important.
关于清晰性的原则呢还有其他的侧面。
Words have meanings.
这个词啊词语有意思的，有语义的。
And we need to know how a word is being used in the Bible.
我们要知道这个词汇啊怎样的使用。
All right, I'm going to use an illustration that may work well in English. I'm not sure how it will work in Chinese.
那他要举个例子，用英语举个例子，不知道汉语啊会不会有相对应的。
But if I say the word face in English, what does that mean?
如果用这个 face 这个词呢，用英语说这个词，它什么意思呢？ faith 就是信心嘛。
Is this faith?
这个是 faith.
Okay, so that's a faith.
英语里面这个脸和信心是一样的一个词，那个声音是一样的。
Have you ever heard of the face of a coin?
大家有没有听过这个一个硬币的那个表面的那个？
Or a cliff, the face of a cliff.
或者是那个悬崖，那个岩攀岩那个 face 那个面表面。
Or somebody says something to you that's not nice and you lost face.
或者别人说你坏话，你就丢了脸面。
When you say the word face, what do you mean?
那英语里面，如果你说 face 的话，那人家说你说的是什么？说的是信心呢，还是你的这张脸呢？
How do we know which meaning are we to attach to that word?
那我们怎么样让人知道我们所要表达的那个意思呢？那个词的意思呢？
We know the meaning by the surrounding story that's going on.
我们在理解词汇的时候，我们理解这个词的意思是通过这个围绕着这个词的一个背景来理解这个词汇的。
The story defines the word.
那样的一个背景的故事啊，来定义这个词的含义意义。
So we need to be careful that we let the biblical stories define the biblical words.
所以我们要用这个圣经里面的那些故事呢，来定义圣经里面的那些主题的词汇。
Let me ask you this: when you hear the word faith, what story in the Bible do you think of?
那我来问大家，如果你听到这个信心这个词的话。你会想到圣经里的哪一个故事？
Abraham.
Abraham.
The story of Abraham is used in scriptures to define the word faith.
我们看到这个亚伯拉罕的故事在圣经里面呢，来定义什么叫做信心。
If you want to know what the word faith means, go read the story of Abraham and it'll explain it to you.
所以我们要想知道信心是什么意思呢？就去查考圣经，看看亚伯拉罕的故事。
All the significant words in the Bible are defined by their own biblical stories.
那所有圣经里面的一切最重要的关键词，那些神学的概念，都是用圣经的故事啊，可以来解释、来定义的。
Words like sin,
比如说罪
，and God,
神
，and love,
爱
，grace,
恩典。
All of these words have stories to define what is meant by those words.
所有这些抽象的词啊，在圣经里面都有一个很深的故事啊，来表示它。
Now that's one reason the Bible is so unique.
这是为什么我们说圣经是非常的独特的。
There's no other sacred literature out there that uses that format or that architecture.
这个世界上啊，没有任何其他的神圣的书卷呢，是以这样的方式来写的。
You know, in our society today in Canada,
今天在加拿大的这个社会里面，
we have the government changing the definition of certain types of sin.
我们知道这个政府啊，他会在这个法律里面来重新定义某些事情。
But if you go into Scripture,
但是如果我们回到圣经呢，
and you find the word perversion,
我们看到圣经里面有这种悖逆啊，
and you wonder, well, what does that word mean?
那我们说这个词什么意思？
Can you guess which story the scripture uses to define the word perversion?
我们怎么样用圣经里面的故事来定义这样的词呢？这种悖逆啊，反叛啊，这种邪恶的这样的词。Babel? Babel Tower of Babel?
No. Which story in the scripture does the Bible use to define the word perversion?
Perversion 这个词的意思就是犯罪，很邪恶，很悖逆的。我们用圣经里的哪一个故事，可以联想到哪一个故事，一下子想起来那个犯罪犯滔天大罪的那样。Cain?
No.
Cain? 圣经里面好多的故事，那个犯罪很邪恶的。
Style of living, a way a person lives, and that style has become perverted.
那种。
That's right, Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, you go into Peter and it uses the word perversion, and then it describes it through the story of Sodom and Gomorrah.
那个彼得书信里面呢，来提到索多玛、哥摩拉的故事啊，说那些人呢， 逆性的做这些逆性的事情。
So the government of Canada can come along and try to change what's written in stone.
那我们好像说加拿大的政府啊，他要改变这些十诫里面所定义的那个罪的概念。
But the Bible has it written.
但圣经呢写得很清楚。
And defined by a story, so you can't change the definition.
圣经呢用这些故事来定义这些概念。
Now that's real important because if you go to university,
这非常重要，因为如果你去上大学的话，到大学里面
，your professors may be what we call postmoderns.
那大学里面的教授呢，可能是后现代主义的人
，and they will tell you that a word does not have any sort of absolute meaning behind it.
那样的教授可能会告诉你呀，任何的词汇都没有一个确定的含义。
They will say that word means change.
那个词汇的含义啊是不断的在改变的。
Well, that may be true, but it's not true when it comes to the Bible.
可能在世界里面是对的，但是圣经不是这样的。
Because the Bible uses stories to define its own words.
因为圣经呢用很多的故事来定义这些词汇这些概念。
So that's the second aspect of the clarity principle.
所以这是第二个原则，我们叫清晰性的原则。
Now when you're teaching, people may not know that you're taking advantage of that architecture in the Bible.
那你可能所面对的是一些人呢，他们对圣经不了解，也不在意。
But they will understand that it's difficult to study a subject like biology and astronomy at the same time.
但是他们呢，会知道如果你既学习那个生理学呀，这个动物学很多的，那不容易的一个事情。
So you just stick with one topic at a time.
所以我们的方法呢是一个一个题目 来讲，让它保持一个很清晰很简单的。
And that's the clarity principle.
这个呢就是啊清晰性的原则。
Third principle.
第三个原则
is a storytelling principle.
是叫做讲故事的原则。
Storytelling principle is a very well understood principle.
讲故事的原则呢，也是啊，我们很常见的。
If you are reading a storybook,
如果我们读一个故事书
，you normally would start in chapter 1 and then go to chapter 2 and then chapter 3 and then chapter 4.
那我们通常做的就是先看第一章，再看第二章，再看第三章，再看第四章。
Right on through to the end of the book.
直到一个这个书的最后。
It wouldn't even enter your mind to start in chapter 10, go to chapter 3, and then go up in chapter 7.
我们不会那样想说，我们先看第十章，再看第三章，再看第八章，那么乱看。
To jump around like that, the story wouldn't make sense.
如果我们那样读的话，这个读混乱了，没有意义了。
And so we apply the story principle.
所以我们啊，也是要应用这个讲故事的原则。
We start in creation.
我们讲这个圣经的故事从创世纪开始
And we move through the Bible.
然后呢讲这个圣经
We move through the Bible chronologically from creation through to Christ.
按照这个时序讲到这个耶稣基督
We don't tell every story but we touch on key stories.
我们不是说把所有的事情都讲到而是讲那些关键性的故事
We touch on the most important stories.
也就是第一个原则所说这种优先性的原则，讲那些最重要的原则。
And that's the principle that everyone understands.
这个呢也是我们每个人都理解。
The fourth principle is called the mathematical principle.
第四个原则呢叫数学性的原则。
The mathematical principle is once again a very easy principle.
这个原则也是很简单。
We don't start children in kindergarten by teaching them algebra.
我们那个教育孩子不会一开始就让那个孩子学什么代数。
If he did, they would be very confused.
如果你教导那个刚上学前班的孩子啊，这个代数他会不会领受的。
No, we start children by teaching them how to draw their numbers.
我们教导这个学前班的孩子一开始上学呢怎么写这个数字啊
And then we do one banana plus one banana equals two bananas
我们教导他一个香蕉加上一个香蕉是两个香蕉啊
We start very, very simply.
我们一开始都是很简单的，先讲一些简单的东西。
And then over the years, we build from the simple to the more complex.
然后呢，一年一年的呢，从简单到复杂建立起来。
And that's what we do too. We start with simple Bible truths, and we go to the more complex.
那我们也是一样啊，先讲一些简单的圣经的道理，然后逐渐的来加深。
Okay, using these four principles of learning.
那我们用这些啊，学习当中的这些原则呢
，as we apply them consistently.
我们很一致的来使用这些原则的话
，they bring comprehension, they bring understanding to the message.
就使我们的这个教导啊、沟通啊、可理解，有一种理解让人容易理解的这种特点。
And we often have people who say, "I got it."
有的时候我们看到大家说，哦，我终于明白了。
I would say it's like it clicked together in their mind.
就好像他们的这个头脑里这个齿轮啊，一下子对到一起了。
Now this is very important.
这个是很重要的。
We talk about the Bible being like a puzzle.
我们呢说这个圣经啊，有点像那个拼图的这个游戏。
There are all these different pieces.
有很多不同的这个片段。
Some of the pieces are big, and some of them are small.
有的呢是大的片，有的是小的片段。
Some of the topics in the Bible are very large, and some of them are just mentioned.
那有的圣经里面的这个题目很广大，有的只是提一嘴而已。
And people take these parts of the Bible, and they try to fit them together to make sense of them.
那人在读圣经的时候呢，就是把圣经这些不同的片段拿在一起，放在一起，然后对到一起，成为一个东西。
And so they come together with their idea of how the Bible's all to fit together.
那他们把圣经里的东西拿在一起呢，拼凑在一起呢，就是成为他们所认为的圣经是什么。
And if they were to explain it to you, it sort of makes sense.
那如果他们这样的拿来呢，跟你解释呢，好像也可以理解是这样的。
But this is how it's supposed to go together.
而这个呢，才是啊，应该它最。设计一开始应该是原本的样子。
You don't want to be putting the pieces together like this when this is what's intended.
大家可以看到啊，这两种方式同样的，但是有一个呢是乱拼凑在一起的，有一个呢是正确的拼凑在一起的。
By using these four principles,
我们用这些不同的原则
，we end up with this.
那最后呢，能够得到一个很完美的一个结果。
The consistent application of them all the way.
也就是你连贯的使用这些原则，最后呢，能够得到一个很好的结果。
Brings understanding.
让人呢能够理解。
And when it all fits together.
当所有的这些不同的东西呢，彼此的配合在一起的时候。
That's where people say, "Ah, I got it."
这时候呢，人就明白了。
It makes sense.
就觉得这个事情是有意义的。
I remember one time teaching a school teacher, a retired school teacher.
有一次啊，是教导那些退休的老师，跟他们讲圣经。
And she actually snapped her hand and finger. She says, "I got it."
这个老师最后说，打一个响指，说我明白了。
Jesus is my lamb.
他说，耶稣是我的羔羊。
Yeah. And we see that probably the most common thing we hear about these tools.
我们看到这些工具啊，这我们通常就是这样做的，用使用的。
Is that people say the Bible makes so much sense？
通过这些原则的使用呢，我们最后经常会看到人呢、能够理解很好的，觉得圣经是很有意义的，的确很有意义。
So our goal is to see maximum comprehension。
所以我们的目标呢，是让人能够理解最大限度的来理解这一切。
The next goal I want to draw to your attention is retention.
还有接下来呢，第三点呢，叫做可记忆性，能够留在人的头脑里面。
It's no use if your student is to learn something and then they just forget it.
如果我们学了某些东西，马上就忘了，那有什么用呢？还学它干嘛？
We want them to retain what they're learning.
我们希望学到了以后呢，能够留下来，记下来。
Now, educators have told us that this approach to teaching that we use in the reading format.
啊，有的教育学家呢说我们这种啊坐在一起来读的这种方式呢
，What you saw modeled here this afternoon，
我们前面所看到的
，That actually is an approach to teaching where you have high retention。
啊，这个方式呢，这个教育学家说啊，会给人留下很好的记忆。
You remember something a lot more if you look at it and you say it out loud than if you just say it in your mind.
也就是说，我们在边看边读的时候啊，对这个东西啊印象更深。
But we don't stop there because of the visual aids.
当然，我们并没有仅只是做这些。
The visual aids help us remember it as well.
我们还有这些实物啊，实物的演示这些东西呢。啊，给人更深刻的印象。
I go into churches that I spoke in maybe 10 years ago.
啊，我有一次去一个教会啊，大概十年以前。
And I'll have a young man come up to me and say, "I remember what you spoke on the last time you were here."
然后有个年轻人呢跟我说，我记得你上次来说了什么。
And I say, "Really? You could only been 10-12 years of age."
然后我就跟他说，我想你。也就是十岁左右啊，十岁十二岁。
And they'll say, "Oh yes, that's about the age I was, but I remember what you spoke on."
那个年轻人说，是啊，那时候我就十岁到十二岁，但是我记得你所说的。
And I'll say, "Well, what was it that I said?"
啊，然后我就问他，我说你记住我说什么了
？And they'll say, "Ah, I remember that sin to God is like a rotten rat to us."
那这个年轻人就说，我记得你说。罪呢，就是像一个腐烂的老鼠一样。
10 years from now, you're going to come up to me and say, "John, I remember what you spoke on in the church here in Toronto."
那大家十年以后呢，可能还会见到这样，跟他说，我记得上次你说了什么。
And you'll remember Mr. Rat.
啊，你会记得那个腐烂的老鼠。
So the visual aids help a lot with retention.
所以这个可视的、有形象的这些东西啊，帮助我们学习。
At least they help me a lot with retention.
至少它帮助我学习很多。
Okay, the fourth goal that we have in mind is objectivity.
第四个目标呢，叫做客观性。
We want to communicate God's word in a way that doesn't, how should I say this, In English, we say "twist your arm." You know.
我们要讲这个圣经的故事，讲圣经道理啊，不是啊，要把这个圣经的话语啊，好像我们英语说 "twist"， 就是把这个胳膊拧过来，把这个话语扭曲了，不要扭曲它。
We can't make a person believe God's word.
我们自己是没有办法让人信神的，信这个圣经的。
We must very carefully but gently lay out the facts before them.
我们所做的呢，是把这个圣经的真理、福音的真理呢，展示在人的面前，让他们去领受。
And let the student partake of those facts and take them in.
让这个参加这个 Bible study 的人呢，来学习，来领受。
You can't pound it into their heads.
我们不能把这个东西啊，这些东西砸到人的头脑里面，灌输到人的头脑里面。
Even when they're coming to the point of understanding, of comprehension.
即使是我们说要理解，要有理解性，可理解性。
We must not push.
我们不是啊，要去强迫别人去领受，去填鸭式的来领受这个圣经的道理。
They need to know that we're there to help them.
要让人明白啊，让人感受到我们是在帮助他。
And they need to know that we're excited to be able to help them.
让别人能够知道我们很开心的去帮助别人啊，去领受圣经的道理。
But we don't want to be pounding them.
但是我们不愿意啊，把这些东西强加给人，灌输给人。
And so our approach in using these tools is very objective.
所以我们那个方法呢，应该是很客观的，客观的把这个圣经真理拿出来给人看。
We want to speak with great convincing.
我们在说的时候呢，要很有确定性。
We want to speak with authority.
我们也要有这种权威性。
We want to speak without apology.
我们不愿意啊，有这种政治性的意义在里面。
But we don't want to be those that cram it into a person like.
就是说这个圣经的道理的是有力量的，但是不是我们给它加的力量。
We invite people to believe, but we cannot force them to believe.
我们是邀请人来信耶稣、信神，而不是强迫人信的。
So objectivity is another one of our goals.
所以客观性呢，也是我们的一个目标。
The last goal we have in mind, the last goal is transferability.
那最后的一个第五个呢，叫做传递性。
Now, if we teach someone, but they can't teach someone else, then we sort of failed.
如果我们把一个东西教导给人，但是这个人呢，他却没有能力再把这个知识继续教导给别人，那就是我教的不好。
As soon as a person becomes a believer,
一旦一个人呢，他信了主以后，
they need to be able to pass it on to other people.
那他呢，就是正常的应该呢，继续把他这个信心呢或者是福音的道理呢传递给别人，告诉别人。
We see this happening all the time.
我们当然经常会看到这样的现象。
Where people have just become brand new believers.
我们看到人呢刚成为一个新的信徒。
And they want their sister and their brother and their parents to know this message as well.
他很火热啊，想自己的父母、自己弟兄姐妹也都领受。
So how are they going to pass it on?
那他怎么样的把这个福音的道理传递给别人，传递给家人呢
？This is a big book.
这个圣经是一个很大的一部书。
Well, if they just were taught by reading,
如果他们仅仅呢是来读这些东西
，Guess what they'll do to pass it on?
你觉得他们会怎么做呢
？And I've been in the situation where my wife and I were teaching about a 30-year-old lady, about 35 years of age.
我跟我太太呢在这样一个家庭的查经班里面来教导大约35岁左右的这些人
and we would teach her in our home study
我们在家里面呢有这样的一个查经
she would immediately go home
那这个妇女呢她回家了以后立即回家以后
and while she was sitting in bed she would read it with her husband
那她坐在这个床上呢就跟她自己的丈夫呢继续来读这个书
She wasn't even a believer yet.
她实际上还没有信主的时候呢，就已经这样做了。
But she was excited about what she was learning.
她对自己所学的东西呢，感到很兴奋。
And so she was already passing it on.
所以呢，她就把这个知识呢，继续的来传递给别人。
That's called transferability.
所以我们称它为传递性。
And we say if you know how to read.
我们看到如果大家有能力来读的话。
You can do these sort of studies in your home.
你自己呢就有能力啊，在自己的家里面举办这样的查经班。
We see that sort of thing happening all the time.
我们看这样的事情啊，经常会有的，在教会里面。
I did a study here recently in Alberta. I had 3 people in it.
我们在自己的家里面，阿尔伯塔呢，最近呢有带领3个人来学习。
And before we completed the study, before we got to the story of the cross and the tomb,
我们在讲完这个故事，讲完这个耶稣啊，钉十字架，空空的坟墓之前呢
，One young man says, "Can I buy a case of these books?"
那有一个年轻人说，我能不能买这本书
？Now there's 24 in a case.
买这个一箱啊，买一箱那个书，一共有24本。
$10 a book, that's $240 plus GST.
是十块钱一本呢，240块钱。
I said, sure, we can get a case for you. What are you going to do with them?
我说当然我可以，但是你怎么用啊？
He says, I got all sorts of friends in my life that need to know about this.
这个年轻人说啊，我生命里面认识很多的人，他们都需要读这个书。
Transferability.
这个呢就叫传递性。
So those are 5 goals that we have in mind as we work in a home Bible study setting.
那就是当我们有这样的家庭的查经的时候我们头脑里面如果有这样五个很明确的目标的话
reading it just like you did in this sort of setting
就像我们前面所看到的这几个人很简单的坐在一起来读的话
we read the section together it usually takes about 4 to 5 minutes to read a section
我们读每一段呢用不多少时间几分钟的时间
when you're done the section you take out the workbook
然后呢读完了之后呢我们就可以用这个研读手册呢来一起来学习
you fill in the questions
这里面有一些问题大家一起来讨论 思考
That usually doesn't take very long to do at all.
这些问题呢也花不到时间去回答。
Then you as a teacher along with a student discuss the questions, make sure they were answered correctly.
如果你是带这个查经的呢，你就可以跟这些人一起来探讨，一起来回答这些问题。
Then you put your workbook down, pick up your textbook, and you read the next section.
然后呢，你放下以后呢，再读那个书啊，这个课本，下面一段。
Might take you about 12 minutes to read the next section.
那可能下一段呢，可能花12分钟，比如说。
Put it down, pick up your workbook.
把这个课本放下，再把这个研读手册拿起来，跟大家一起再来。
Do the answers for that section.
再来回答那一个部分，所列出来一些问题。
Review the questions with them to make sure they're correct.
跟这些人呢一起来看这些问题答案，来确保啊这答案是正确的。
Then you pick up your book and you go on to the next section.
做完了以后呢，可以再来，接下来做第二、第三个。
If they have questions, they may bring up those questions during the workbook time.
那他们呢可能会有一些问题的，比如说在做这个研读手册的问题的时候，可能会有一些问题要问你。
We only answer their questions if they are on the topic.
那我们呢，唯有当他们谈的是这个我们看的这些主题的时候，才会回答这个问题。
If the question is answered later on the book, we tell them that.
如果这个书后面呢会回答他的问题呢，我就会告诉他，我们接下来的时候会看到这个问题。
But if we're not going to answer their question right at that point in time, we say we will write the question down.
但如果他这个问题跟所学的内容啊不太关系不大的话，我们可以说把这个问题写下来记下来。
We'll say Jessica wants to know.
Jessica 想知道呢
this particular question.
这个问题，这个特别的问题。
And then we put the question in a little basket.
我们把这个问题啊写成一纸条，放在一个篮子里。
And we say, once we complete the study,
我们说当我们读学完了这本书的时候
，then we'll answer that question.
我们来回答这个问题。
And sometimes the questions can be like, what's purgatory all about?
有的时候啊，这个问题可能会说炼狱是什么样的
？Well, you wait till you get to the end to answer that question.
那你要等到最后啊才看到这个问题。
The whole idea is that you want to keep the study on subject and moving along as quickly as possible.
这个意思呢，就是要有一个焦点，要继续的、持续的来讲这个整个的一个课程。
If you do just what I explained,
如果大家呢像我给大家所解释这样的来做呢
，using the book and the workbook,
用这个课本呢和这个手册呢
，it'll take you about 15 hours to go through this book.
可能会需要大约15个小时的时间来学完这样整个的一个书。
Now we find that on most evenings we go at least 2 hours.
我们发现呢，自己的经验里面，大约每个晚上都会花两个小时的时间在一起跟这些人来查经。
I find if they've given up their evening, they're in no rush to go anywhere.
他们呢也很喜欢这样的学习，也不是说学完了马上要走。
So shortly after they arrive.We go right into the study.
他们每次来了之后呢，我们就尽快的来学习这些书。
And we'll go 2 to 3 hours in one study.
每一次呢，可能会花两到三个小时的时间。
Well, if the total study time is 15 hours,
整个的时间像我说可能会有15个小时。
And you go 3 hours in an evening?
那如果你三个小时，每个晚上三个小时的话。
Then it'll take 5 nights to do it.
那会正好是五天的时间，五个晚上。
I explained to the student that the tighter the schedule is, the better their understanding will be.
那我也跟大家解释啊，如果这个时间越紧凑的话，对人理解呢越有帮助。
Because it's really one story, not a whole bunch of disconnected stories.
这个原因呢是啊，整个的这些内容是一个故事，而不是多个故事。
So often they'll say, "Oh, okay."
那些来学习的人呢，他们会说好的，可以。
And they'll make a room in their schedule.
那他们呢也愿意呢来配合你。
I've had it happen where I started on Friday night. We went for 3 hours.
有一次我们从周五的晚上开始，三个小时的时间。
And I said to the couple, I said, "Well, when would you like to get together next?"
然后呢，学完了之后，我就问这个人，这些人，我说。下次我们什么时候来一起学习好
and they'll say, "Well, we're not doing anything tomorrow. Do you want to get together in the morning?"
说我们明天也没什么事可做，明天早上怎么样
？So we got together in the morning. We went for 3 hours right up to noon.
第二天呢， 早上又起来，又花了三个小时，到学到下午。
And I said, well, you know, let's stop there for today.
我跟他说，我说我们停到这儿吧，今天就学这么多了。
And they said, well, we're not doing anything this afternoon. What do you want to do this afternoon?
这两个人说，我们下午也没什么可做的，干什么呀？
So they ordered in one of those pizzas that had the little fish on it.
他们就订了那个披萨，里面有很多的小鱼。
Those real salty little fish.
很咸的那个鱼。
And as a teacher, I had so much salt in my system, I could hardly speak.
那作为这个一个讲的人呢，我吃了很多，好像都不能思考了。
We went 2 hours that afternoon.
那下午呢，又学了两个小时。
So just in a matter of 2 days, we covered 8 hours of the teaching time.
所以在两天的时间呢，就整个学了八个小时的课程。
And we find that it's not uncommon for situations like that to develop.
当然，我们说这个。也会经常会出现的，有的时候。
So that's how we do it. It's a very simple approach.
所以这个是我所做的，其实很简单的一个方法。
And as these visual aids come out, if you sign up on our e-newsletter, we'll make sure you know when they arrive.
我们的这个机构啊，如果做出这些产品之后呢，大家可以登录我们的网站来买这些东西，这些东西很有用。
You can not only take advantage of the reading format, but you can also take advantage of the visual aids.
就是我们不仅仅是用这些书籍在读的过程中来帮助人学习，也通过这些实物啊帮助人记忆理解。
We do have in English a book that shows how each one of the visual aids is used on DVD.
那我们呢，的确有一本英文的书，没有翻译的。来解释啊，所有这些实物啊，在讲的时候怎么用，怎么使用。
So you can actually watch me teach with a visual aid.
而且呢，有一个 DVD 呢，来就是记录了这个老师啊，他是怎么用这些实物的。大家也可以买那个 DVD 来看他是怎么用的。
And if one of you has some time and wants to put in Chinese subtitles.
如果大家有时间的话，想把这个DVD 啊放上那个中文的字幕的话
，We have a lot of requests for Chinese overburns on that DVD.
那我们呢有很大的这个负担，需要把这个翻译成中文放上中文的这个字幕。
We have the technology. We just need someone to do it.
我们有这样的技术，但是就是需要有人来帮助来做这个工作。
All right, we're almost to the end of our time here, and I just want to end by saying thank you so much for the time that we've had today.
这就是大致上老师今天要讲的这些内容，很感谢大家今天呢抽出时间来一起来探讨学习。
I thank God for His people that are willing to give up a whole Saturday.
也感谢神呢，让这些弟兄姊妹能够把这个时间呢拿出来
to come and sit for long hours and listen.
来做这块好几个小时的时间来听讲
and to learn how to use a little tool that directs
学习呢来使用这样一个很简单的一个工具
that directs people to the Lord of Glory our great creator
这个工具虽然简单呢却很多时候能够带领人来信神信耶稣
the Lord Jesus Christ
来信我们的主
thank you so very much
非常感谢